So I'd like to ask you to imagine with me for a moment. Remember when you were a child and you could imagine all kinds of things? I want you to kind of reach back into your brain. And I want you to imagine that you were standing in the thick of a forest. The only sounds that surround you are the creatures of the night. The only light is the glimmer of the moon. And the shadows are feeding into your greatest fears. The only company you have is your sibling, and you can hear the beating of your heart as it becomes one with the knocking of your knees. You are lost, and you need to get home. You might remember Hansel and Gretel, who found themselves in a similar situation and used a trail of tiny white pebbles in order to find their way home after their parents had tried to lose them in the forest. Not pleased with their return, their parents took them again even deeper into the forest. And this time, the children used breadcrumbs for their trail, only to find that the birds had eaten them, leaving them truly lost and alone. Today, we find that Gideon, as well as his community, had also lost their way. They became overconfident. They relied on their own self-sufficiency. They forgot who they were, and they began worshiping other gods. You see, while Gideon had heard the stories of God's saving work as they were passed down through his ancestors, with each new generation, they became less and less real, less important. And as a result, Gideon's contemporaries found themselves worshiping the new things of their age rather than the ancient God of Israel. Does that sound familiar to you? It was exactly this lack of reverence for a God who seemed too out of touch, too irrelevant, that opened the door for the camel-traveling nomads to storm through their villages like the pirates of the Caribbean as they raped the land of its crops and slaughtered their livestock. In an instant, their wealth was reduced to scarcity. Terror had snatched their joy. And while it may have been obvious to onlookers, the people became consumed in their grief and found themselves wandering far away from who they used to be. The worst part about all of this was that the people in the community didn't realize that the crumbs that could have led them home had been eaten, and they were hopelessly lost. Last year, I was hospitalized for 10 days with a terrible case of pneumonia. It was so bad that I was certain I was dying in the same way that my mother had died from cancer 20 years earlier. All of the symptoms were the same, and I was truly afraid. And it wasn't until I became well that I was able to look back and see that I had been sick for such a long time. And eventually my body said, enough, we're not doing this anymore. I remember telling people that I didn't even realize I was sinking into the darkness. I think that may be true for many of us. I think there are times when things and situations that surround us are so powerful that we don't even realize we're becoming caught up in them and we become lost. For some of us, it may be the loss of a job, an illness, or death of a loved one, a life transition, financial stress, a relationship that is falling apart. There are so many situations that can almost devour us and become lost in the circumstance as a result, and we may lose ourselves in the process. This is exactly the case with Gideon. His whole world has changed. He's feeling weak. He's from a very small tribe. They're unable to defend themselves. He doesn't know where to turn, and he becomes stuck in this situation that he's in. Yet, rising through the clouds of the darkness, the angel of the Lord breaks through and commands Gideon to go to war and redeem Israel. much like a person who has been kidnapped. You know, we hear these stories sometimes in the news that a person who's been held in captivity cannot recognize their captor as someone who is not good for them. And in kind of the same way, Gideon is so captivated that he doesn't know it's God that stands before him. He was uncertain and afraid, and so he asked God for a sign. We've seen that before, right? He tells the angel, "Stay right here. Wait for me. I'll be back." Really? If you were lost and the search party arrived, would you say, "I just have a few things to do, hold on"? But Gideon does. He says, "God, wait right here." And although God has been cast out by the people, rejected and betrayed, God softly replies, "I will wait here until you return." Can you believe that? I will wait here, right here. So Gideon rushes off to prepare a meal worthy of the Almighty, whom he hopes it is that he has encountered, and places it under the oak. But the angel says, "Move that meal to the rock." And while that rock does not speak, it evolves into something far more valuable than pebbles or crumbs. That rock is stronger than an oak tree. It is unmovable. It is solid and secure. And it cries out to Gideon, "Pay attention." He is standing in the midst of the one and only God, the Holy One of Israel. And the angel raises his staff and touches the meal, and a great fire consumes it. And at that very moment, Gideon is transformed. His eyes are opened, and he knows it is God to whom he is speaking. Hansel and Gretel, like Israel, were children who were deeply afraid and took their fate into their own hands, which led them into even more danger. Is it possible that, like Gideon, the world around us has led us deep into a forest? Our culture overwhelms us with images of financial success, bigger cars, better homes, younger, firmer bodies, name brand clothing, jewelry, television, telephones. The list is endless. And we might feel that if we cannot attain all of these things, somehow we don't quite measure up. Our society tells us that our value is based on how much wealth and success we can attain. And without even realizing it, we begin worshiping other gods. It's not about being a millionaire. It's not about only having a cell phone. It's about having a smartphone. Not about having a television, but a high definition flat screen. You see what I mean? These things have now become the accepted norms for us, and our lives just don't seem complete without them. It's a funny thing about humanity. The more successful within our secular world we become, the more we think we're in control. The ways of the world ease in and kidnap our soul without warning. If you know someone or yourself who has type 2 diabetes, the disease kind of operates in a similar sort of way. While a person is enjoying to excess their sweets, combined with an overabundance of meats and fat, the body somehow becomes confused. It seems innocent enough at first, but eventually the body's cells no longer recognize themselves and they forget how to function. They become lost and they act in a way that is not conducive to good health. At some point, the body's eyesight may diminish, and the brain reorganizes and craves more and more and more sugar. And the result can be deadly. If one is attentive and recognizes the warning signs, they can seek medical attention. And hopefully their doctor will say, "I am here with you, and I will lead you home." They will prescribe medication and a healthy diet, and our body begins the process. The cells begin remembering themselves, and they become healthy and whole once again. For our brother Gideon, he missed all the warning signs. His brain had really reprogrammed itself, and he no longer recognized God and asked for help. But despite being betrayed, the Lord again said, "I'll be right here. You do what you need to do. I'll wait for you." It was God who led Gideon back to his rock of faith. And it was God who said, "Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." And I want you to really pay attention. That is not a casual sentence in this text. Peace to you. Do not be afraid. You shall not die. This is not any kind of peace. It's not a greeting. It's the peace of God. The only peace that can give us wholeness and health and rest. It is at this moment that Gideon is able to realize that he has been lost and that the Holy One of Israel has been waiting this whole time to lead him home. But here, as we move on, may be the most important part of this story. Gideon doesn't just say thank you, but is overwhelmed by the love of God that God has poured out upon him, and he responds. He builds an altar that lasts forever, so that everyone will know it was the God of Israel that met him in his despair. It was the God of Israel that led him home. This story would have been a beautiful story if it ended with Gideon recognizing God. But it becomes a magnificent story when Gideon responds to God. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you could not survive? Perhaps the loss of a loved one or a terrible illness, or there was a person who really stuck with you and saw you through. A person who sat with you in the dark and hugged you without words. When you thought you couldn't hold on, they held out their hand. Don't you hold a special place in your heart for that person? Will you ever forget the way that person loved you when you really needed to be loved? Would thank you seem like enough? A faithful relationship with God cannot exist if it is one-sided. There must be two parties who value each other, who recognize each other, and who love each other. Being loved by God is amazing, but holding that love in our hearts, allowing it to glow and influence all that we do, out of our love for God is where it all comes together. God waits. God waits. But God waits for us to respond. And that's where it really gets amazing. So friends, if you have wandered too far into the forest, your crumbs have been eaten, and you find yourself lost and alone, look for your rock, not a pebble, but a rock. And know that God is there waiting for you and waiting to lead you home. Amen.